jest. From lane to the new shining ground. Echo chants where the legends are found. Heroes carved in the heart of time. We march on through grit and grime. Old Tottenham, Tottenham till I die. Raise the banner, let it fly high. Through the rain, through the fire. This is my club, my only desire. Old Tottenham, Tottenham till I die.
Hang on here a minute. Is this a take-up night? Like, you know your you know your place. Right. Good evening and welcome to the number one Tottenham channel on YouTube. You have number one for Spurs news, your number one channel for breaking news as well, and your number one channel who brings you Simon Jordan into the equation, a man who delivers on his convictions, and a man that is not too scared to tell how he feels, including his bleach blonde hair, his whitening teeth, and, you know, and the gorgeous model he has on his arm. And Tequila will respond to that in a minute. But good afternoon, guys. Good morning if you're watching in America, and good evening. Good evening here if you're watching in Ireland and England. Joining me tonight, of course, I've got Steve and Tequila. We're going to go through all the news, guys, from around the Spurs sphere. Steve, how are you? Busy week at Spurs, a lot of news here, there, and everywhere. Yeah. And how are you anyway, so before we get into the news?
Well, I'm doing pretty well. I had a little medical procedure, a dental procedure this morning, so I'm still kind of reeling a little bit. But that being said, man, I got to be honest with you, man, I'm doing fantastic. It was a productive week. And of course, I'm always looking forward to the weekend because I get to talk about Spurs all weekend long. So for me, from that standpoint, man, I'm absolutely just buzzing. So, I'm great. And I hope everyone in the chat is doing well. But most importantly, I hope you guys have a great weekend yourselves, and hopefully you guys have a good time.
Yeah, and joining us also, this man, I owe him a debt of gratitude. He's joined me all week. We've had some good debates this week, haven't we, Tequila, to be fair?
Feisty affairs, eh? Kind of.
Yeah, and I'm sure tonight will be no different. Of course, he is the Simon Jordan of the channel, with his bleach blonde hair and his whitening kit.
A fake tan.
What do you reckon?
Fake tan.
I actually said that to you. I said to you last night, didn't I? I'm the Jim Wright and you're the Simon Jordan off this channel.
I don't mind that. I prefer Jordan, if I'm going to be honest.
So if he's Simon Jordan and you're who do you say who did you say you were?
I'm Jim White.
Jim White.
I reckon. Yeah.
Does that make me Gary Neville? What does it make me?
No. We won't go that low. What about Martin Keown Tequila?
God.
Or Martin.
You could be a heart. Well, he's a bit of a. At least O'Hara is a Spurs fan, so that's the best compliment I can give him.
Okay, fair enough.
Jamie O'Hara. There you go. I'm quite happy with that. We haven't done one of your have you seen? They will be coming in the season. Tequila does a very good Jason Cundy impression. He does an extremely good Jason Cundy impression. He only comes out when Spurs whip somebody.
Yeah, didn't have to use it much last year, did I, Jamie?
No, I think only three times. Tequila, how are you, man? How's your day been? And it's been a long week for Tottenham news, hasn't it?
I'm happy to see the end of this week for personal reasons. So yeah, I'm happy. This is where I'm very happy. It's a Friday. As for Spurs stuff, I don't know. It's been a bit of us spinning our wheels a little bit weak, hasn't it, Demo?
It is. Wayne Bonner's gone for Roy Keane. I don't know who he is, Roy Keane, but I think that could be you to kick. I reckon that's Colum, you know. Colum.
Roy Keane? Oh, I'd love to be Roy Keane, bruv.
I saw some clips of Roy Keane today when he...
I'll take the Roy Keane.
No. That goes to the Cork boy in the channel. That goes to the Cork boy in the channel. And God's column is from Cork.
It's already been decided, Dermot.
See, us Irish stick together. You see, Irish boys stick together.
There you go, Steve. Let me ask you a question then. Who's the favorite American player to play for Spurs? Your favorite American player to play for?
The guy right behind me over my shoulder, Clint Dempsey. So, yeah. I'll take Clint Dempsey.
Yeah. We had a lot of American goalkeepers, didn't we? We had Friedel and we had Keller, didn't we?
Keller, yeah.
Which one did you prefer out of those two?
Friedel. Yeah. Was the better keeper, but
yeah.
There you go. Big up to Giant68. Big up. Big up Dermo and the panel in the chat. Big up Coys. Big up to you, Giant. He also says, I see the guy that ate all the kebabs is refused to. I've seen some pictures this week, which I think is highly offensive, but you do laugh when you think about it. No, come on, man. Just leave the sort of bullying alone, but I get what you're getting. Refusing to deal with Spurs over Morgan Gibbs-White has a short memory. Didn't we pay over the odds for Johnson to help him with PSR? We did actually with PSR. That is so true. But yeah. Who ate all the pies? Simon Cohen, big up Dermo. Another day, same story. No signings. They're coming. Believe me, they're coming. Good up to Wayne Bonner. Good afternoon or evening, everyone. Hope you're all well. Wonder how long it would take Dermot to talk about his poll. Never. Just did. Big up to Spotlight and Spurs. Big up to you, sir. Hope you're doing well. Again, great to see you in the chat. Big up Simon Cohen. I thought Steve's some bloke from Roma was signing for some. Oh yeah, I thought Steve. This is to you, Steve.
Yeah, Nicolo,
I thought Steve, some bloke from Roma was signing some. Was yeah, signing some Nicolo, young player.
Yeah, Nicolo Pasola. Pasolo. He is the Italian U21 player, and I had it on good authority that both Tottenham and the player had agreed to personal terms. So we'll see how the rest of the window transpires.
A rumor is a rumor until it's all confirmed. Big up, gents. Big up, Mr. Terry White. Big up, Dwayne Tequila. Blink twice if you're being forced.
I just did. You can't see it now.
Spotlight goes for Danny Murphy. Now, I don't mind Danny Murphy on TalkSport. I quite like Danny Murphy, actually. Good player as well. Jeremy O'Hara. Yeah. He wasn't bad, actually.
Murphy's a better player than Jamie O'Hara was, don't we? Unfortunately,
yeah. I think Jamie O'Hara is a better host than Danny Murphy.
Murphy was pretty good at Liverpool. His career kind of went a little bit backwards after he left Liverpool. But
I read his book. He really had a hard time after he left football. He really did. He hit the skids completely, and to come back like he has come back, fair play to him. Big up to Mr. David Clark, my nemesis. Hi from Leicester. Having watched Son in training today, his body language told me that he is staying. Well, I might have a bit of news for you, David, on that. Big up, Shawnee Maddox. Big up, Sean. Hope you're doing well. It says, afternoon, Dermot. How excited are you for tomorrow's doubleheader? I am so excited. I don't think I'll sleep tonight. It'd be like Christmas Eve. Ready. Doubleheader of Spurs all day. Jesus. And there will be two watch-alongs tomorrow, guys. We are going to cover the first watch-along and the second game as well. So we will be a busy day in the channel tomorrow. Big up to Wayne Bonner, Roy Keane. Big up to Jack. I don't want to get this person's name wrong again, guys. Jagjeet.
You had a problem with this last time. Yeah, problem with this last time.
It's Jagjeet Rawat.
Okay. Big up to... is it right to call you Mr. J? I hope you won't be offended by that, but I'm going to nickname you Mr. J, if that's okay with you. We will get the new first team player before preseason. Yes or no? I think so. Tequila? Yeah or nay?
First team player before... When? The beginning of the season?
Yeah, before preseason.
Before preseason?
No. Yeah, in Asia.
No. No.
Steve?
I'm going to say yes, right? Before the before the end of the Asian tour, I'm fully expecting another signing. All of a sudden, this goes all the way up to, September 1st? So I expect at least two more signings through the door.
Oh, you mean you said preseason, Dermot, not the start of the season. Isn't it like tomorrow?
Yeah.
Preseason's tomorrow, isn't it? So
why have we already started the preseason tour?
Oh, okay.
When's that then?
Well, before we go to Asia.
Okay. No. We'll get someone in before the Premiership starts, but
yeah,
for sure.
See? This is why Tequila comes on. Isn't
that the preseason, though? Isn't that the preseason? Preseason lasts all the way through the Super Cup, right?
What really gets me right, preseason is preseason from start to finish, right? So you get to the Super League final. But they break it up to preseason. This is just warm-up games. And then they say, we're going on a preseason tour. Well, aren't you already playing preseason?
Right.
I don't know. It gets confusing. Big up to David Clarkson. Sorry about Dave McKay. Would be burping keen over his shoulder. Yeah, he would. We'll say who else is in. Big up to Rain Man. Big up to Ryan Man. Big up, Ryan Man. Evening, sir. Hope you're doing well. Big up to Colin as well. The boss is watching. Yes, I know you are. We will behave ourselves.
Wait. Colin's the boss.
We all know Colm's the boss. He is the Roy Keane.
Look, there's only one boss, and it's Mrs. Tron, and Colm knows that for a fact.
Yeah. Yeah. We all know Mrs. Tron's the boss, but Colm is his assistant manager. It's like a bit like Ted Lasso and the lady chairman.
Colm is Ted Lasso.
Yeah, and so Mrs. Tron's the chairman, so she's in charge, yeah. She's going to like that when I tell her that she's the chairman. Anyway, big up to her and my old mocker. Hope you're doing. Hope you, the missus, and the little one are doing well. Did you get her to have her dinner earlier? Let us know. Hi, Dermot, Stephen, the legend himself, Tequila316, also a.k.a. Simon Jordan, and all in the chat. Hope you are doing well. Big up to her. Yeah, anything you want to say to Erwin?
No, I mean, you covered it. Hopefully his young daughter is doing well.
Yeah.
I don't envy him. I bet you he's not getting much sleep. Let's put it that way.
I don't think he is. Bless him. Big up to Odeon Austin as well. Sorry if I'm skipping over the chat. Paulinho will be signed by Monday. Do you know what? We are going to talk about this, and I agree with you, David. It's not often you and me agree.
I think he's being a bit sarcastic Dermo.
I don't think David is being sarcastic.
He's looked into his crystal ball, Dermo. That's what he wrote at the end.
Yeah, I reckon it's going to happen. I reckon it'd be from there. Deadline day this week, guys. This year is going to be a bit different. We're actually going to run it like a prop, like Sky Sports. So we're going to have different people on for a couple of hours either time. So I think Steve would do a stint. Tequila and James would do a stint. I think Colm's going to do a stint. And then I think two or three of us, I'm going to be on them from 7 to the closer window. I'll be doing my Jim White bit. And then I'm sure Tequila will come back on. Steve will drop on another. And then by the end of the window, I think we should be all on together for 11 o'clock. So, guys, watch out for that. This deadline day is going to be a bit different, but it's going to be good.
It'll be good.
Guys, you looking forward to deadline day, Tequila and Steve? Tequila, you looking forward to it? Yeah. It's going to be a bit different to how we've done it last year, but I think it's going to be exciting this year.
I enjoy it for the spectacle that it is. Enjoy it the way Daniel Levy treats it? No, because other than the time we got
Tequila, how we're doing it, are you going to enjoy how we're going to cover it this year?
Yeah. I thought you meant, am I going to enjoy it as a Spurs fan? I got a different answer for that one, but
yeah, I know. Yeah. We will get into that on you, Steve. You're looking forward to it? A bit different.
Of course.
Nobody's ever done it on YouTube like this before, by the way. We were the first channel to do it like this.
Yeah. And it's going to be exciting. And I'm looking very much looking forward to it. But the of course, with deadline day, right? It's that anticipation of seeing seeing that name coming through the door, the name that's going to be on the ticker. Yeah. I like that anticipation, especially for Tottenham fans, especially if something actually does transpire. Seeing the chat absolutely going bonkers, I'm looking forward to that too.
Dermo, I know you like you like your F1. Yes, I do. And it is the Belgian Grand Prix this weekend. I love the race. Do you like motorbikes? I do like motorbike racing. I do like MotoGP. I don't watch a lot of it, to be fair. But I probably watch more enduring racing and F1. But if the bikes are on and there's nothing else on, I will sit back and watch a good bike race. There is some new videos coming up before the season starts as well, where Tequila's going to interview me and talk me through my Spurs year. Then I will interview Steve, and we're all going to interview each other and find out why we are Spurs fans and why on a bit about us. So you get to know us more before the season starts. So them videos will be coming out in the next couple of weeks. So Tequila, get your questions ready, man. You'll be interviewing me first.
Lucky me.
Pardon?
He said lucky me.
What do you mean? What do you mean? You'd be interviewing me about me.
Dermo, that's already your favorite subject, bro. You don't even need an interview.
You fecker. You fecker.
Sorry, mate.
No, look, I know what you mean to get it. Dermot, should I watch the F1 movie myself? The missus watched it. I haven't watched it yet. I'm waiting for a very good copy to come out on MovieBox. Once that comes out, I'm really excited about it and I can't wait. I don't know if you've watched it yet, Steve, to kill the F1 movie?
No. Is that the one with Brad Pitt?
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Oh, okay. Nope, I haven't seen it.
Tequila?
I don't watch movies.
Will you watch it?
If it comes on Now TV, then maybe. I mean, it will eventually. There, everything does eventually.
Yeah.
I don't go out of. I don't. I haven't been to the cinema in ages, Dermo. Like physically gone to the cinema. It's too expensive for me. Honestly, I can't afford it.
David says I'm buggered and have been housebound since last May, waiting on a vicarious vein operation than a total knee replacement. So damn. I'm static audience. So you have my full attention. Oh, God love you.
Bless you,
mate. I mean, Tequila knows about the NHS in the UK. I think you and David could swap some notes on that, couldn't you, Tequila?
I hope he's having more luck than I am, but it doesn't sound like he maybe is, which I understand totally. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Mr. David Clark, I hope your knee replacement goes well, and I hope you're up and moving around in no time, man. I'm sorry to hear that. That you're having to do that.
Now, guys, we did break it earlier within the pre-game thought shows that Los Angeles FC have sent an offer to sound South Korean forward Heung Min Son from Tottenham Hotspur. Now, it's come from us, so that's why we're the source. THFC Till We Die are the source. Also, we can add a bit to it as well, guys, that the LAFC are willing. Now, I do apologize. It was me that wrote it in. And as you know, I'm a bit dyslexic and can't spell properly. So I try to put words in that I understand. I know it doesn't look good, so I apologize. Are willing to put a deal up to €45 million. I want to ask a bit about Sonny first.
Sure.
Guys, I don't know who wants to go first. Does Sonny, do you think Sonny will be here for the start of the season firstly, yes or no?
I've gone safe off to you, mate.
It all depends on what happens between now and the end of the Asian tour will depend on whether or not Thomas Frank is going to be confident on his left side of wingers. Mm-hmm. From that standpoint, I'm going to say yes for right now. It's just a tentative yes. But that being said, I want to see exactly the financial arm of this deal, because I know how Major League Soccer works. And the question is going to be whether or not that's going to, you know, the juice is going to be worth the squeeze from the Tottenham side, not exactly the LAFC side. So I'm curious to see it. That being said, it all depends on what Sonny's motivation is, right? This is a World Cup year, and I would probably assume that 2026 is a valuable season for him. And also his stake with the South Korean national team. So that being said, I'm going to say yes for right now. But that being said, this thing is kind of fluid at the moment. Depending on that financial arm for Major League Soccer, and how bad they actually really want him, my answer could shift within a week. But as of right now, it's a yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Tequila, the boy Hotspur, has just put out in the last couple of minutes that a report that Tottenham Asian Tour could be the last hurrah for the Lily Whites for the first team star for Sonny. If Sonny does go, what sort of a player will he be remembered for?
We kind of spoke about this the other night. He's not quite, to me, and only to me, he's not quite that elite tier legend Spurs player. He falls into the second bracket for me. He'll be remembered very fondly. I don't think there's going to be many fans who can't at least have good memories about Sonny. And he will always be known as a player who did win us the Europa League. So, you know, he has put a stamp, so to speak, on his time here. I just don't see him at that top tier legend level, but that's not a problem for me. You can see he's meant to be a rare thing, Dermo. The term legend is meant to be a rare thing. It gets thrown around way too much, as you know. I do have to disagree with Steve. If that is the true amount, if that amount is accurate for that price, I think Spurs have got to say yes.
Yeah, for sure. But my question, it's not necessarily whether or not it's going to be enough to get it done. The question is I'm curious about how much money Major League Soccer is going to throw in, because when you're talking about these type of players that are going to be over the 20 million mark, usually the league chips in. So I'm just kind of curious to see exactly how the funding arm to get him into Major League Soccer, how's that going to play out? I would probably assume that if Tottenham get 40 million, 45 million for him, they're probably going to pull the trigger.
Yeah. I mean, they are looking for a round. I mean, it is a deal worth up to 45 million.
Right.
Are you surprised with somebody with 11 months left on the contract, who is a 30-year-old, that he's going to get that sort of money? Or is that more, I mean, you know more about the MLS than me and Tequila do, Steve, right? So I've got a separate question for you about the MLS and that. But Tequila, are you surprised Tottenham are asking for this amount of money for Sonny?
There was rumours before about Saudi coming in for him for 60, I believe. So, no. I mean, he's 32. And with the exception of Cristiano Ronaldo, most players don't last to 38 and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Ronaldo's a freak. We all know that, right? There's not many who manage to pull that off, especially when it comes to outfield.
We all know Messi's a better player than Ronaldo, by the way.
And it's a bit different for keepers. Keepers can last a bit longer, but not for the outfield players as much. 45 million, to be honest, Dermo. I mean, even if they halved that, I still think even half that would be maybe slightly difficult for Spurs to turn down because of he's got 1 year left and he's 32. And I've said it so many times about Levy not wanting to buy these older players because there's no resale value. Well, there's an exception here. If Levy thinks he can get that money for a 32-year-old, he's going to take it, bro. I think this is why Sonny seems a bit upset, because I don't think he wants to go. And it is a bit sad because I don't think he wants to go. Is he being forced out? I suppose he is.
I don't think he is. I think they're leaving it up to him. But on this side,
why does it look like he's sulking? If it was up to him, then why does it look like he's kind of sulking, if that's a term to use, a little bit?
I know my column said the 50 from my comment. Everyone didn't notice it, and the column noticed it. Damn. I don't know, Tequila. I said it last week. Me and Steve did the watch along, and I said he looked disinterested. He didn't look the Sonny of old. I could have put that down to rustiness, could have put down for more the celebrations. But Steve, you know the MLS better than anyone. You cover it. You live in America. You know how the MLS works over there. The MLS made a big deal to get Messi to come over there for Inter Milan. Right. Hugo Lloris plays for LA, Los Angeles FC as well.
Olivier Giroud.
So how important is, like, Sonny's been so important for Tottenham in the Premier League because of his Asian market. And the amount of fans he brings with him. How important were the MLS? How much does the MLS... Does the MLS need Sonny more than Sonny needs the MLS?
It's clear that MLS probably needs Sonny a little bit more, because one of the things that MLS has a problem with right now is marketing individual stars, right? And I think that they, they found out just exactly what a mess he can do. When it comes to drawing, I guess you can call it fair weather soccer fans, right? The best part about Sonny coming into Major League Soccer is the fact that in LA, they have the most concentrated population of Koreans of anywhere in the United States. And so from that standpoint, you're going to attract more of more of a Korean crowd, which that is something that definitely appeals to it. And especially considering it's a billable and marketable star, just like Leo Messi, maybe not to that extent, but still a very good draw. So from that standpoint, Dermot, it makes perfect sense of why Major League Soccer would love to have him in a community like Los Angeles, because again, they really do have Los Angeles has a very healthy and vibrant Koreatown. From that standpoint, I think it would help them make that transition into the U.S. But also when you look at the level of play, I also think that the level of play, considering over the last 10 years, it's night and day. And I think we're at this point that number one, Major League Soccer from a competitive standpoint is far and away better than the Saudi Pro League. When you consider the Saudi Pro League is like two or three teams at the top, and the rest, don't necessarily spend the type of money as the top three. And I also question the legitimacy of the Turkish Super League as well, too. Not saying that, that's a bad league, but the level of play, I don't think that it's necessarily going to prime Sonny for for the 2026 World Cup. I still believe that Major League Soccer would be a very good landing spot for Son. He'll start, he'll score goals. And I also think that, I think for him at this stage in his career, but most importantly, he's going to get paid. And I think that's, I think that is also something that's factoring into this as well, too.
Yeah. I mean, look, I love Sonny. I think somebody put it in the chat, and I think they put it in absolutely perfect. I just want to say, okay, Colin, fair enough. I'll put that into a charity bucket for us, okay? And at the end of the season, whatever fines I add up, I will pay to that. Just a few people before we move on to the next subject. Audie Austin says, I think we'll be a long time before an Asian player that makes an impact on the Prem anywhere near that Sonny has done. Greatest Asian player ever. I agree with that 100%.
I agree with that too.
Tequila, look, Sonny, this last thing on Sonny, then we will move on to day 15 of the Gibbs White saga. I'm sure Colin really looking forward to that one, Tequila.
It was like day 150, Derma.
It does. Everything. It does, man. Look, I love Sonny. I love Sonny. I don't think he's captain material. I just think it was the wrong choice for captain last season. But look, that's said, dead and done. If you could look back on his career, and I want, and as well, Steve, in the chat as well, guys, get involved. One word. How would you describe Sonny's time at Tottenham if this is the end in one word? Okay, if you two, I go for success.
Success?
Loyal.
Okay.
Yeah, good one. Loyal.
I'm going to say consistent because every single year, you know, his numbers were absolutely consistent year after year after year. And that, you know, and for a team like Tottenham that was up and down at certain points, to have that type of consistency along with Harry Kane, it just goes to show you just how incredibly tuned in and how, you know, how great of a player he was. Yeah, for sure, man. Consistent's got to be the word.
Tequila?
Jovial.
Do you know what? That's actually not bad. That's actually, I don't think I've ever seen Sonny swear at a referee. The only once when he got sent off against Chelsea, didn't he, Tequila? Do you remember during the documentary?
It's like they said the same thing a little bit about Wayne Rooney. I remember at least at the start of his career, he looked like just a young lad at the time who just enjoyed football, and he always has a smile on his face. He always enjoyed his football. Yeah, okay, he's had his moments like every player does, but overall, this is a guy who just loves football, and that comes across and always has, and how he presents himself.
Yeah.
So that's what I mean. But in one word, jovial, I think is a good one.
I think you two made really good words. Actually, big. Let's see what the chat's saying. Hog God 10's gone for gentleman, correct? Ryan Mann's gone for great. Yep, great point. Positive. Colm's gone for sensational, which is I think Colm, if I'm allowed to say, is on the picture of our new merch that's coming out. There is new merch coming out, guys, this season. We're getting it put together. So do watch out for that. And one of them is, I've seen a T-shirt with Sonny on it, and it's absolutely beautiful. It really is. Big up to you, Colm. Colm actually designed them himself, so big up to you, Colm. Ryan Mann says, grafter, complete, loyal. I think that's the big, incredible and loyal. But that's it. Look, more about Sonny as in when it comes, of course, as soon as it's announced or we get news of anything happening, we're here at First and Fastest here.
Can I ask you guys a question real quick?
Yeah.
Because, you know, Tequila mentioned something earlier, and I was curious about him expanding on it just quickly, because he said he didn't think he was in the top tier of the top tier of legends of Tottenham Hotspur, right? And so when I think of top tier, I think about Jimmy Greaves, Bobby Smith, Martin Chivers, Glenn Hoddle, maybe even Gary Lineker, Paul Gascoigne, those type of legends, right? So if he's not, and Harry Kane, so if he's not you don't think that he's in that tier?
It's a difficult one without going over every single player you've kind of mentioned, because we're all going to have slightly different ideas, right? I'm quite harsh. It's the same thing when people call somebody a world-class player. In my mind, and only my mind only, a world-class, when I think of world-class, I think of a 24-man squad. If the player is called world-class, if I don't think he gets into that 24-man world squad, he's not world-class to me. So when I'm talking about legends, it's such a small number in my head. Of those top-tier legends, it's such a small number. I would even put maybe a couple of those players you mentioned probably, for me, wouldn't be in that top upper tier either, because that upper tier is such an exclusive list. So the tier below, there's a lot more names in the tier below. Fantastic players. It's just a personal thing regarding, I just feel legend. Sonny is one of the best Spurs players of all time, but I don't think he get... Here you go then. Does Sonny get into a first 11 Spurs team of all time?
No.
There you go. No. Then. Does Harry Kane? See, I think Harry Kane might. I think maybe Kane and Greaves.
I don't think Gary Lineker does. I don't think, I think Paul Gascoigne probably does. See, I wouldn't call Gary Lineker a Spurs legend. I don't think he was. He may have been a legend of football, but he wasn't a Spurs legend. I think Glenn Hoddle, definitely yes. Martin Shivers, definitely yes. Jimmy Greaves, yes. You could look at Bobby Smith. The 61 double side, I think they're all Spurs legends, just for doing the double end off. You could look at the 80 side, Graeme Roberts, Spurs legend, definitely. Paul Miller, Ray Clements, yes, definitely. Eric Torsvet, probably. But I don't think the likes of David Howes or Paul Stewart or Pat Van Den Howe or Chris Waddle, I think they go into the same category as probably Sonny, where Sonny is. I think they're great players. But I think to add in that point, Dakila and Steve, that him and Harry Kane did have the greatest partnership in Premier League history. Now, do you feel, look, I don't want this to become the Sonny show. We do have running news. But do you feel that Sonny has missed Harry when he left to go to Bayern?
Of course he has. Yeah. To be honest,
most
players who play alongside Kane are going to miss him, Dermot, because he was a creator as well as a scorer. Nobody's really picked up that creative mantle. You can say Madison's the closest to it, I guess, but nobody has been able to do what Kane does when it comes to the goals. And people forget just how good a goddamn passer of the ball Harry Kane was. You know why, don't you? We all know this story. Harry Kane used to play in the midfield when he was younger. That worked absolute wonders for Harry Kane, playing in the midfield before they moved him up to front. He learned how to be a creator as well as a goal scorer.
And that's why we're missing it now, isn't it? That's why we need two players to do the one player's job. I go back and you look at probably Eric Cantona from Manchester United. How much did I know Colum's in the chat, maybe you can answer this. How bad did Manchester United miss Eric Cantona when he retired? I think they did miss him for a season or two. But we've never replaced Harry Kane at Tottenham. We've never have. Yep.
I don't think you can with one player, Dermot.
That's the point. Is that he was a two player into was two players into one. I rarely don't. Look, we will go more into Sonny over the weekend, of course, early next week. Guys, we're working on this. Another bit of news coming out of Germany. Yes, we have got correspondents in Germany, close to the ear to the ground outside Bayern Munich's cafe. Drinking tea and eating cheeseburgers. Tottenham Hotspur are working on a deal to sign Bayern Munich's midfielder. According to the Daily Telegraph, Tottenham Hotspur are working on the deal to sign Paulinho. However, Spurs have to sell one of their existing midfielders to make Spence. This is from Bayern Strikes. This is where this story has come from. I'll stop you, Steve. Don't I go you, Taylor. I'm going to mix it up a bit, okay? Paulinho. Just again, simple, yay or nay? And why?
It's 100% a yay. Considering that, a lot of people might look at João Paulinho as damaged goods last season. He had I think he had less than 1,000 minutes last season that he was dealing with injuries. But that being said, if you can get a player like that at a little bit of a discount, it's going to, obviously it's going to help Spurs in the long run. One of the things that, especially at the sixth position, one of the things that concerns me as of right now is there's still a massive drop off after Rodrigo Bentancur at that position, right? So, when you look at Yves Bissouma, I don't know how you guys feel about him. I just don't think it is what it is. I just don't think he's going to come consistent all year. And then after that, then it's Archie Gray. And so there is a considerable drop off. What Spurs need is somebody that is going to be able to walk in and challenge for that starting spot. Yeah. So when you can have two guys at that six who can play routinely and consistency, all it's going to do is create good problems. for Spurs moving forward. And of course, when you look at the schedule and you see the Champions League and you see a crowded schedule, you're going to need somebody who is experienced to come in and play that position and lock it down. And so getting a guy like Polina is a no-brainer.
Yeah, I mean, Tequila, look, I know you are sort of on the point where you don't think Levy will go for this time of deal because there's no resale value, which is a very valid point.
Not to buy, a loan's a completely different matter.
Would it be a loan? Would you have it as a loan with an obligation, or do you think at 26 million is too good of a deal to turn down?
I would have it probably assuming, and I've got to use the word assuming here because it doesn't normally work out this way, Dermot. Assuming those 26 million funds would be going to finance another player we need in another position, then I would do it a loan with not an obligation, but an option to buy for maybe the 15 million mark. I would do that and then see how he does. And then you got to remember that by this time next year, he'll be 31, I believe. Right. And we were just talking about getting rid of Sonny at 32. So you see, I mean, it's just 1 year.
I feel he's, as players get older, some of them get better with age. You look at Ashley Young, he's 40 and still playing. And I think he signed for Wrexham, didn't he? Or no, he signed for, wasn't Wrexham. Who did Ashley Young just sign for? It will come to me anyway. He's 40. I think this is worth a 2-year deal.
It depends on the position, Dermo. It depends on what the player's traits are as well. If you're a player who relies on
he's pace, a number but, six that we desperately need.
If he's still got the engine when he's 32, then you can make an argument that okay. But then you do what most teams do at that age. You put them on the rolling contracts, don't you? So the point is that he's either going to pay 26 million to get him on a rolling contract. Because he's not going to give him more than if we were to sign him, there's no way Levy's going to give him more than. I'll be shocked if he gets a 3-year deal. More like it will be a 2-year deal. Because Levy knows, just like with Perisic and stuff like that, Perisic was a 2-year deal. That was a free transfer, but he still only gave him 2 years, didn't he? Mm. So this is what Levy, for that age, this is what. And Ben Davies is a rolling contract every year, isn't it? So, and Paulinho, whether you like it or not, he is nearly at that bracket. He's like a year. Right. Like
yeah, I say, no, that's true.
So, right. But also, it's a 20s. Go on, Steve.
I was going to say, but look at the financials, though, right? So, you know, the market value for a guy like Yves Bissouma is sitting right around 25 million. And if they're able to sell him at 20 and get Paulinho at that 25 million dollar price at an accelerated discount, you know, for 2 years, you're essentially getting, you know, you're essentially getting an experienced six at 5 million pounds. And I agree with you, right? A 3-year deal doesn't make sense, but I mean, for 2 seasons and really all you're essentially what you're doing is getting them for 5 million pounds, you know, that, you know, that juice is definitely worth the squeeze. Right. And you know, for a fact, long-term he's not going to be around, but if you can milk out 2 seasons of high level performance and keep him, keep him on the pitch because you do have Betancourt, you do have Archie Gray to pick up some of those minutes. Doesn't it, at that point, don't you think that makes sense?
Yeah, but why waste the 26 million if we can get him on loan and then next year he'll have even less time left. It'll be even cheaper. He'll be a year older and it'll be even cheaper at that point.
Well, you're also assuming that Bayern Munich is going to agree to a loan term. They're probably
I don't know if they're up for a loan or not. It's just if the only option is to buy him, then I think we've got virtually no chance of getting him.
The latest on that is that they will be willing to listen to offers, and they will. But he does want to stay at Bayern Munich. He does want to fight for his place. He only made 17 appearances last season for Bayern Munich. So they are willing to listen to offers now. We know Paratici is the sort of director of football or sporting director that goes in and does a lot of loans with obligations or loans for options. So we know that is his MO. We know that could be it. We have dealt with Bayern Munich before with Harry Kane. So the boards know each other quite well. Both clubs know each other. If Thomas Frank wants him, go and get him. Don't just wait around for the next year or 6 months. If Thomas Frank wants him for the team, go and get him. I think it will happen, but it may be more of a deadline day signing, personally. I think this might go on a bit like Morgan Gibbs-White. I think that will go on towards the end of the transfer window.
Right, because you have to negotiate with the player to try to convince him to leave Bayern Munich. That might take some time.
He wants first team football. He wants to play football. So Paulinho, will come. He knows how to play in the Premier League. He is Premier League proven already. So we all know he can play in the Premier League. Big up the Kuba says Paulinho is just a destroyer. I hope we get a better of all round football, to be honest. But he's still an upgrade in some of what we have. Big up to Mr. Brady as well. Big up Philip. It says Paulinho on loan. Yes, please. Hot God 10 said if he's fit, got legs, he can play for three seasons at top level. Exactly. And Erwin goes, does anyone else get frustrated when they say Levy doesn't want this player or that player? What happened to the manager picking the players and getting the backing?
When's the last time that happened at Spurs, Erwin, my friend?
Yeah. The football has changed so much between what it used to be and what it is now. And this is the question again with the football regulator. Is it a good thing that it's came in? We sort of talked to it the other night, didn't we, Tequila, about it? And I want to go through some of the options with you guys on that. Actually, that's where we are going to go next, if I can find it. I think it's... I'm trying to look now. I think it was that one. So let me take that off. Just let me check if it is that one. This is it. Yeah. Okay. I just want to check this right now. We talked about this the other night, didn't we, Tequila, about this, and we sort of left it. Steve, this has now come into law. Football is going to get its own regulator to look after it and do what regulators do and be sort of government are going to stick their noses in. Football Governance Act become law in historic moment for English football. Historic Football Governance Act receives royal assent, establishing new independent football regulator to safeguard the future of the national sport. Now, some of the things that the new powers will include is, as you can see, tough new financial resilience across the football pyramid to ensure clubs are sustainable for long term, new standards for fan engagement for club decision making, so on and so on. But this is a bit that I'm really pleased in. This is a bit I want to talk about. Two bottom bits. Backstop powers to ensure fair financial distribution between leagues, and new statutory protections for key club heritage aspects like home shirts, colours, club badges, and stadium and moves. Now, Steve, I don't know what American sport is right. I don't know if there's regulators in American sport, but me and Tequila, I don't think there's anything like this in Europe, and I think we're the first European football league to do this. Is there anything like this in America? And if there is, should we be concerned that government is now getting involved within football?
I think it'll help. In the United States, most leagues have salary caps, right? And the cap is a hard cap, and essentially what it does is it stops teams from just spending whatever type of money, creating a league of haves and have nots. Essentially what it does is by having a hard cap, it allows every team to be able to compete for a championship. And at that aspect, all that does is reward creative minds for when it comes to building teams. And a salary cap, whether you like it or not, is something that, does allow for parity. And I don't know if you guys like parity or not, but essentially what it does is it just means that, teams that otherwise would never have a shot at a championship now have an opportunity to win the championship if they actually build their team correctly. When it comes to the Premier League, I think that The biggest problem over the course of the last 20 to 30 years is that we have seen the breakaway of the top half of the league versus the bottom half. And what makes this, you know, what makes it a little bit hard for me to swallow is that as the decades have gone on from the breakaway of the Premier League, that the Premier League has essentially became the richest league in the world, and it benefits, you know, it benefits certain owners, and what it does and what it's done to the actual pyramid has essentially made the bottom half of the pyramid even more starving, right? When you look at the solidarity payments for the championship all the way down relative to the revenue that is brought in from the Premier League, it doesn't necessarily seem that it, you know, that you would think that maybe the Premier League would raise those percentages of revenue to ensure that the pyramid stays healthy. And then you have balloon payments that only, you know, balloon payments for, you know, teams that get regulated from the Premier League. And it creates, again, a separation of have and have nots in the championship. And it requires teams that cannot afford it to spend well outside their means just to be able to get into position to get relegated. And if they don't, then all of a sudden you come into you know, financial issues where administration comes into play. If this regulation is going to ensure that the pyramid actually stays healthy and we see bigger distribution that allows not just the just not the championship, League One and League Two, but also it gets into the non-league where it allows those teams to actually flourish and actually have a shot to get promoted. I'm 100% for it.
I'm not. I'll be honest with you. I don't want government involved in football. I don't think it was needed. I think the Premier League and the FA have governed football by themselves for over 100 years or 200 years now, whatever how long it is. And I think it's just government just sticking their nose into something because they feel they have to. I'd rather it didn't happen. I agree with Simon Jordan. I feel half the European leagues are laughing at us for bringing it in. And I don't see any other European league will be bringing it in. Now, Tequila, look, you've had two sort of different opinions on this, that Steve doesn't mind it. I'm really against it. I don't think it should be brought in full stop. But did the Super League sort of made it easier for this to get through?
As the only one of us three, I know Dermo used to live in England, but as the only one of us three who actually lives in England with this government and knowing how...
That's a good point.
Let's not turn this into a politics show. Sure. But
I do run one of them channels.
They're not the best at managing much of much. Let's be honest. I think that you are right, though, Dermo, if you're asking what spurred this... Pardon the pun, what spurred this into action? Yeah, the Super League scared the hell out of them because they did not want to lose all the amount of revenue that the Premier League brings to this country. Our economy is not exactly thriving anyway. So you can bet that this is done for not the best footballing reasons. There's a lot of ulterior motives behind this one. It shouldn't shock you. It's politics. I'm with you, Dermo, generally, and I don't like the government interference.
I don't either.
Do I think they could do some good, but the key word is they could. Do I think they will? No, because I think that they'll just be as cowardly, and that is the term I'm going to use, as the Premier League have been when it comes to dealing with clubs like City and Chelsea. Right. Don't get me wrong, they'll attack clubs like Everton and Forest all day long, but they won't attack the big boys.
That's the question I was just going to ask you, Tequila and Derma, is do you think this was brought on because of the scare of the Super League? Or do you think it's because teams like City, teams like Chelsea, that every single season they circumnavigate the PSR rules and they're able to get away with it? And even with 115 charges like Manchester City, they're acting like this isn't even going to faze them, right? Like they're expecting there's probably going to be a slap on the wrist. So do you? For me, at least, when I see this, it's because there are teams that know for a fact that they can get away with not playing by the rules. And to me, when I see this, that's the first thing that comes to mind is there's too many teams that are not playing by the rules.
Yeah, it's like I'll put it this way, right? Premier League are kind of like the big bully at school. The big bully at school who actually is quite a coward, and that's why he bullies others. They'll bully Everton because they can. They'll bully Forest because they can. They'll bully Derby because they can. And all these other teams they've deducted points over. When it comes to Man City and Chelsea, no. They are scared of them because of the resources, the flat-out resources and the right. power and the finances behind both of those clubs, because they know that they're going to be held to the wall in litigation for years and years, just as we're seeing with City.
I think it was because of the Super League. Yeah. Definitely because of the Super League. If you look at the Super League, the top six clubs were going to move out of the Premier League. Now, the rest of the Premier League were quite happy to say, right, off you go, F off, never come back. Then you look at the protests that happened at Manchester United. They got the Liverpool game postponed. You look at the protests outside Chelsea and Arsenal. I mean, our protest was pretty... I won't mention what it was like. It was four men dancing around with Spurs bags in their hand and the shoes in the air. I should never forget it as long as I'm dancing in the rain. Honestly, I'll never forget it as long as I live. And I just think it's government that thinks, oh, hang on a minute. We've ballsed up everything else, but let's regulate this. We can get a few quid out of it and that will do. And I don't want them involved. Ryan Mann here says, he says here, agree with Dermot. The football regulator will be just be a waste of money. What I want to know is what's happening to the PFA, the Players Union. Used to be active, but I don't think the PFA do anything.
I
think the Premier League has become such a juggernaut, has become such a monster over the last 20 or 30 years since it was started in 92, 93. I think it's become such a major monster now that nobody knows what to do with it. And the Premier League is the biggest league in the world.
Dermot,
so why would you, as a government, want to lose that income? And why would you want to lose that? And a lot of these, and you were talking about Man City, Steve, right? And all this. You're right. Man City will only get a slap in the wrist. Why? Because they're also involved in the politics as well. They're also supplying on. This is not turned into politics, as Tequila said. But it's worth mentioning that if you are to, say, dock Manchester City 100 points, have them relegated into the Championship, then the owners of Man City say, right, okay, we're going to pull our resources out. So you've got a government that's sticking its nose in, wanting to apparently safeguard football, which I think is a load of BS. You've got a governing body that does it, as Tequila rightly says, is a bully and does it will only bully small clubs. And you've got a Premier League and an FA are so scared of their own shadow, they won't do anything. They will go to Everton and like Nottingham Forest and deduct them points. For what? It's all down to, as Aaron says, it's all down to money. And I think this is a stupid, ridiculous thing. And I'm so disappointed it got passed through law. And just one more point. Sorry. I know I'm going on. Sorry about that. It's a rant. I do apologize. It was put to a vote about last week or the end of the following week to have 10 games shown a year free on traditional TV. All the people that wanted this regulator in wanted fair for football, fair for the fans, voted against 10 free games for the whole year. So please tell me what's this regulator all about if it's not just for power, money, and having their fingers in the pie that they're going to ruin at the end of the day.
Here's the thing. You make a very good point. And, as somebody who, here in the United States, I'm far more conservative than I am liberal, and I don't like government interference on any level. Right. I just think that really, when it comes to it, all it is just them sticking their fingers in to get a piece of the, action. Right. You make a very good point, and it almost feels like that is also the case as well too. Now, from this standpoint though, if it does lead to fair financial distribution down the down the pyramid, wouldn't you, like, let's just say that's the only thing that they achieve. Let's just put that out there. Okay, where the only thing that they're able to achieve is better distribution down the leagues, right? So it's a better percentage of the revenue that the Premier League brings into effect, right? At that point, yeah, you would probably say, well, that's actually kind of good for the championship, good for League One, because it allows smaller clubs to stay away from administration. At that sense, you would think that would be good for English football. That being said, I just look at this as, if you're going to come in and do this, everybody has to be on the same level. There isn't this bully aspect where certain teams get punished while other teams get away with highway robbery. If you're going to come in to regulate, then you do it all the way. And that means City, Liverpool, Chelsea, Tottenham, Everton, Forest, Bournemouth are all on the same level. You know what I mean? Like, they're all on the same level. And if you break rules, then, and if that leads to relegation, then so be it.
I mean, Tequila, just before we move on and go on to our sort of second to last subject.
Can I bring up this point here, Dermo, quickly?
Yeah, of course you can,
This comment here from Kuva, I've had my eye on it for a while because it kind of adds on to what I was saying, that one. And that really says it all. The Premier League, this is the difference. The Premier League can easily survive, with all due respect to Forest and Everton, even though Everton has been a mainstay. They can survive without them because Everton hasn't finished in the top. They don't even get to the top 10 anymore. When's the last time they cracked the top 10, right? They can't afford to lose either, let alone both of them, Chelsea and City. There's no way they can afford to lose them. So they're going to bend over backwards and do everything they can to appease those clubs. There is no fairness. Let's not be naive to think there probably ever will be. Whilst there's so much money involved, there can't be. It's not an even playing field on the pitch or off the pitch. We know that. Unfortunately, I don't think this is the answer either. What is the answer? I don't know. If I knew that, then hell, I'd be much richer than I am.
So let me ask you the question that's sort of based on that then, and then I'll ask you both, you and Steve, and then we'll move on to the last bit. Now, we know Chelsea have been selling stuff to themselves. We know Villa had done the same thing. We know Man City probably do it year in, year out. As much as we hate Daniel Levy, we're probably one of the cleanest teams in the league. I honestly do think so. From a financial point of view, I think we're the more well-organized, cleanest league. So, Tequila, you look at Chelsea have got banned fine from UEFA for doing dodgy stuff. Should the Premier League, if the Premier League turned around to Chelsea, Man City and said, right, you're into the championship for a season, you can't appeal. If any other club does this, this is the punishment you will get. Would you have a lot more faith within the Premier League then if they did that?
If they did it to one of the so-called big boys, one of the draws of the Premiership, again, no disrespect to teams like Forest and Everton. Of course, they have their fan bases, but we're talking globally here. Again, I'm going to be honest. Do you think Everton has got a massive global presence? I don't think so.
I think all Premier League teams have a
global presence. Not compared to other ones, though. I'm talking about levels here.
So if the Premier League said to Man City, right, we're relegating you to League One because of what the 115 charges, and Chelsea, we're relegating you to the Championship because of what you've done, you cannot sell a women's team to yourself. I mean, that's just ridiculous. Would you have more faith in the Premier League then than you do now?
Yeah, but I don't believe it will happen. The last time I saw any kind of footballing governing body, which I really thought, okay, so they've got some good some gonads, right? They've got some balls, right? Was when the Scottish Premiership had the balls to relegate Rangers. With all due respect again to the Scottish League, that's one of the two teams that always win it. When they relegated Rangers, they more or less guaranteed the next season was more or less a one-horse race because nobody was going to go near Celtic, and they did.
But they had the balls to basically relegate Rangers.
Yep.
They went bankrupt, and they started again because of it. But you're right.
They had the balls to do it.
had the balls to do it.
That's the last time I can remember a footballing governing body really, really kind of impressing me.
Then my question is to you then, Steve, before we do move on, should FIFA and UEFA then get involved and say, right, this is what needs to happen? UEFA had banned Man City from the Champions League. Man City went to CAS, and I have watched the documentary. However they got out of it, they got out of it. Is football that corrupted now that whatever you do, nothing's going to change? Does the bubble have to boss for football to bring it back to basics to start again? Does the bubble have to burst? Basically, what I'm asking you. I think it does.
Oh, without a doubt, right? Because FIFA and UEFA are equally as corrupt, and they're not going to do anything. They're not going to step in what they call league business, right? They're going to let that play out before it gets to that type of level. But that's also, that's also the rub as well too, because Tequila mentioned something earlier when he was saying that, you're talking about global brands, right? And both both FIFA and UEFA make so much money off the backs of these big clubs, right? So they're not going to step in and do anything that has a potential of jeopardizing their revenue stream, right? The fact that they make so much money off the backs of some of these big clubs, right? You wouldn't ever jeopardize your bottom line. So why would they step in and say, hey, because you're failing to police Manchester City, we're going to have to step in and do it. That's why we have the Court of Arbitration of Sport, right? That's what that's there for. That is, I guess you could say, the independent arbiter. But that being said, yes, you're absolutely right, because there are so many special interests, and because there is corruption, it would have to take somebody monumental to throw the wrench into the gears, to stop it or reverse it. And because everybody is so self-serving, whether it be the Premier League, whether it be UEFA or FIFA, that's just not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Yeah. There's going to be no end to the never ending stream of revenue, which all entities are thriving on right now.
Yeah. Tequila, look, it's time where we do sort of give something back to our viewers, to our subscribers, and to help them. And help them, don't be Tequila, to save a few quid and watch all the football they want to watch. And the clues, get rid of the 3 p.m. blackout. So would you like to introduce our channel sponsor and what they, and then we'll play it, and then we will tell you how much it is at the end.
We all know this is the highlight of the stream for some people, hearing the man, the legend that is Com, through his accent, the wannabe Irish actor, the wannabe WWE wrestler, the man who hates his own content because he says how much he hates this video himself. So it's private internet access. It's a VPN. It's half the price as a lot of the other VPNs as well. And there is still 86% off until Sunday. So you've got 2 days to get it done. And I guess cue him up, Dermo. Cue up the legend himself, LA Knight. Com. Do it now. Yeah.
Let me talk to you. A little reference there. But I'm going to stop messing about.
She wrote. That is all she wrote. She didn't write anything else bar that. It's quite a good intro, but anyway, here we go. Sorry.
Let me talk to you. A little reference there, but I'm going to stop messing about. I'm going to talk to you about private internet access, the best VPN in the land. Now, when you're online, you may not realize, but all of your data is there for the taking by anybody with a VPN such as private internet access. Your data is safe and secure, streamlined, and nobody else can get hold of it. That's why I use one anyway. VPNs, very easy to use. Private internet access, all you got to do is log on your phone, select where you want to be. So I want to be in America, and I click go, and there we are. You can also link up your devices to it from your phone, if that is easier for you. It's available on a lot of platforms as well. As you can see, and you can use it for a very, very big range of things. So that's even better as well. You can use it, like I said, on all your devices, smartphone, tablets, gaming consoles, and stick it on your modem. And it's unlimited devices. One equals all. It's available all across the world, and it works perfectly. What they do is they mask your IP address, so pesky 3 o'clock kickoffs aren't an issue anymore, and they're independently audited, so there's no logs, 30 million customers, and 4.5-star Trustpilot rated excellent review. Private internet access. Get yours now.
And there you go, guys. 85% off until Sunday. So do get it in. The description is below. Guys, a couple of more things. I'm delighted that the famous Bill Nick Gates are back at Tottenham. They stood proudly in front of our old White Hart Lane stadium for generations and now officially back home in Tottenham, having been formally reopened by our chairman, Daniel Levy, and Bill Nick's daughter, Jean Bell, today. And that's from White and Tottenham Hotspur. Also, very quickly, Tequila, this really will... You're going to be... Are you sitting down, Tequila?
Oh, God, here we go. Yeah, go on in.
London is Levy. Tottenham Hotspur chairman to be given freedom of the city. I really want to know
what...
He's
got the freedom to leave the city anytime he wants.
He's now got the freedom of London. Yeah. I saw that and I just wanted to know what your reaction would be. What is your reaction?
Well, I left London when I was like 16, when I was happy to leave. So if it doesn't surprise me that somebody who appears to be the way Daniel Levy is loves London. And if Levy is London, London is Levy. I think it's a perfect match made in heaven, Dermo. London and Levy.
Yeah.
Two pieces
Yeah, what a time to be alive, right? Where Daniel Levy gets the key to the city and everybody's happy and holding hands. And good Lord, man. Good Lord.
I just wanted to hear Tequila's reaction to it. Our last bit of news, guys, is Tottenham Wonder Kid pushing for a loan move with Thomas Frank set to decide. Tottenham Hotspur youngster Mikey Moore is keen for a loan move this season to ensure he gets regular football for his development. Yep. Football London understands. Now, I looked into this before we came on air, and for what I can read into it, he wants to go out on loan to get ready for next season. Now, we know he's in one of the starting lineups tomorrow. He's in for the Wickham game. Guys, I mean, Mikey Moore, do you think a season out on loan would do him more good, or do you think he needs to remain within the first team squad this season for him to gain more experience than going out on loan? Firstly, I just want a yes or no before we get into it. Steve, yes or no, loan move for Moore?
100%.
Okay. Tequila, yes or no for a loan move for Moore?
Yes, asterisk next to it.
Okay. Why 100%, Steve? Because my view is this. I don't think he's going to gain anything by going out on loan. I think he's going to gain more for staying within the first team squad. I think he's going to gain more experience for working with seasoned professionals, have the full season within the first team, playing early games in the League Cup, Champions League, getting the rare Premier League start. I don't think going to the Championship, where I think he's going to be head and shoulders above the rest, is going to do him any good whatsoever. But I think you're going to disagree with me, which is probably what I wanted.
Yeah.
You think he would benefit more from going out on loan, I take it.
Yeah. You know, here's the thing, right? I would agree with you if we knew that there was a defined role for Mikey Moore in the first team where where he's actually, you know, he's actually getting, you know, at least a start, maybe two, week to week to week to week to week to week. And you can see that progression of minutes, because minutes at the end of the day are what's going to define his development, right? Last season was actually more of a detriment than it absolutely helped, because there were times where he was sitting for months and he would get the occasional U21 start or whatever just to keep him active. But if you're going to keep him on the first team, it's also a signal that you actually have a role for him, right? And if that's not going to be the case and he's going to be sitting more than he's going to be playing, it does absolutely nothing for his development. And at this stage, Tottenham have a fiduciary responsibility to make sure that Mikey Moore is playing regularly, right? And so from that standpoint, I would actually welcome a loan, right? And here's the thing, right? If it's to the championship, at least it's going to be a championship, that team that's going to be pushing for promotion, right? Putting him in an environment where not only he's going to get, you know, get starting minutes, but he's also going to help push for a promotion, which, you know, I don't know how you feel about that, but as a player, it makes you rise to a little bit of a better, it makes you rise to a better, level. And it's going to influence your play, right? And I think that would be a very good environment for Mikey Moore to develop it. That being said, I will, to your point though, right? It all depends on the role that Mikey Moore has within the Tottenham first team. And again, if he's getting two starts a week, and at least for 6 months, at least that's something, because he's going to play. But again, if there is no defined role, a loan is exactly what he's going to need to further his development. 100%.
Tequila, look, Mikey Moore missed an awful lot of last season because of ill health, because of a mystery illness he got. Where are you with him? I know you said let's put it with a mark against it. Are you more in Steve's corner? You're more looking where I'm looking at it, or are you taking it from a whole different ball game altogether?
I'm taking it a little bit of the. It's very, very player dependent, and not only is it player dependent in his ability, but it's personality dependent. Some people. Okay, so it's like going to university when you're 18. Some people take a gap year.
Right.
Some people don't. Some people go right through the whole education system. Some people take a gap year and then they go to university. Some people don't bother going to university. They just go get a job. Yeah. Everyone's a bit different. With him, and I don't know him, so this is where you've got to trust in the football people who know the kid. So maybe Frank isn't the one to be asking because he doesn't know him well enough. So we're talking about people in the youth academy there who know the player and have worked with the kid for a number of years. If his personality is the type to where he thinks that he can be, go out on loan away from Spurs, going to be living in a different area by himself. Is he mature enough to be doing that? Is he mature enough to be training properly? Is he mature enough where he doesn't need somebody watching over him all the time? Everyone's a bit different. If they feel he has that trait, then I think sending him off to a championship team, for example, and this is the other caveat, it depends what team and it depends what division, because I don't really want to see him in League Two or League One. Right. Sometimes our players get sent there. So I want to see him, the least I would accept would be in a championship team, maybe even preferably a lower down, one of the maybe promoted teams into the Premiership. If they can get that kind of a loan for him and they think that he has the personality at the moment and is mature enough to be trusted to go out by himself, then yes. If they don't feel he's got that maturity yet in the person that he is, and everyone develops differently with their personality, then you might have to keep him around and continue to him to be mentored by professionals and also his family support network around him. It depends how far they send him out. They're sending him to QPR. That's still in London. It's a bit different. If they want to send further afield, that's a big jump for anyone.
Well, but also remember that Mikey Moore is asking for the loan, right? Which leads me to believe that he has already had that conversation with Thomas Frank. And that, even right now, Thomas Frank has no idea exactly how he would use him if he stays in the first team. And so from that standpoint, you kind of almost have to err on the side of the player, correct? Mm. If he wants to go on loan.
You do, but you also have to take that kind of fatherly kind of thing where sometimes you have to look out, you have to protect him from himself. And this is what I mean by it's very much individual player dependent. Some players are ready for that jump at 16. Like Wayne Rooney, right?
He was
built for the Premiership since 16. Other players, they take a bit longer. And also, and I don't just mean physically take a bit longer, I mean mentally.
Yeah.
As in there's where they are in their lives. I matured late. I've always been a late maturer in everything. That's me. That's what I was. Some people, they don't. They get it right away. They're ready right away. I don't know him. Neither of us know the kid. So this is why, unfortunately, and I say unfortunately because we change managers. So
we can't really even trust Frank on this one. It's going to have to be somebody who knows the kid from the academy days, who's worked with him throughout his development in the last 5 or so years, who's known the kid since he was 11 or 12, or what, you know, and seen him grow up. Is he ready for it? He might think he is, but this is where you've got to rely on people around him, including people like his family and his football mentors. Is he ready for it in the head? Is he ready for it in the head? I don't know.
So look, at that point, look, we don't know if he has that. Look, there is a rumor out there he has asked for a loan. It is in some of the papers. It is in some of the footballing networks and there, but I don't think it's officially come out yet by Spurs or anyone that he has asked for a loan. He is in the starting lineup for one of the lineups tomorrow. He will be involved. I just think he's 17 years of age this year. You need to keep him within Tottenham Hotspur. You need to keep him within the club. And I think he's such a talent that what is the point of sending him out on loan where he's got to develop? He has to develop, and he has to develop right at Tottenham. Tequila, you're right in what you're saying, Steve. And I think Tequila's right in what he's saying. I think you're both right. But
if he's not going to play with Tottenham.
But we don't know that. We don't know what Thomas Frank. I mean, we don't know what Thomas Frank's got. We're not privy to that information of what Thomas Frank has planned for Mikey Moore. We're hearing rumors that he's asked for a loan. I would find that very hard to believe because he got first team starts last year under Ange Postecoglou, and it was only because he got a mystery illness that kept him out for 6 months. So, and he did come into the squad again when he was back and fighting. I think Thomas Frank has already said that he wants to use some of the youngsters more this season. Sure. I think if you are going to do that, then Mikey Moore's one of your picks. I think Jamie Dolan is another pick as well. I think Alfie Devine's another pick. I think them three players alone, I think, should be in and around the first team, constantly with professionals, learning off them, learning of how to prepare yourself before a game, training properly, dedication to their profession, dedication to their position. I think sending out players on loan after loan after loan, I don't think it does players any good whatsoever. I don't think it doesn't develop them. I think you look at the case of Harry Kane. Harry Kane went out on so many loans. Did Harry Kane have great loan deals? No, he didn't. But he flourished when he got time under Tottenham, when he got first team appearances. So you've got to treat him right as well.
Look at Oliver Skipp when we sent him on loan, right? He tore it up at Norwich and nearly came back a different player. I know that he ended up not being... In the end, we sold him. We sold him for 20 million, by the way. Not bad for 20 million worth of profit. But he went to Norwich, had a fantastic season, was one of the best players in the Championship that year, and came back, and he was ready for the first team. So it depends on the player so much, dude. It really does.
Yeah.
And the timing as well. The timing and the player.
I just think that it's all about continuing to fine-tune their skill set. And again, if they're not playing, you're not going to be able to do that. I don't care how much training you get. And for me, in my mind, it makes sense, depending on the team. But that being said, I don't see a negative of putting, because this isn't going to be a continuous year after year after year loan. It's, you know, as of right now, it just sounds like it's going to be for the season. And I don't think it would hurt his development to go down to the Championship and start week in and week out and get that experience of actually starting week in and week out and getting on that type of developmental play where he can fine tune his skill set before coming back next season and actually stepping into the starting lineup potentially next season. So,
yeah. Well, look, I think that will run and run and run until the end of the summer window. Guys, that is it. Thank you so much for watching. I really enjoyed this. Of course, we will be back on early 10:50 in the morning, guys, for their first watch along against Wickham. And then, of course, we're doing before the whistle. And then we are 2 o'clock and then we're covering the Luton game at Tree. So a double whammy of watch alongs tomorrow. Steve, I know you have to shoot off very quickly, so I'll let you let you say where people can find you first, so you can get on your way.
Yeah, on the old interwebs, you can find me on X at Stateside Footy, and of course now on TikTok at Stateside Footy. But of course, the YouTube channel is where that's where the most engagement is at, and of course that's at Stateside Footy. Make sure you head over there and hit the subscribe button. Tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock UK time, it is the American Hotspur with guest Ash Matic from Spurs Kings TV. And that will, I believe that will be simulcast not only on Stateside Footy, but THFC TWD before the double watch along by yours truly over there in the left-hand corner right there. And of course, I think tomorrow I'll be part of the Luton watch along as well too. So there's a really good weekend ahead. And of course the MLS live stream will be either Saturday or Sunday night. I'm just deciding on which game I want to cover. So there's a lot of good stuff in the pipeline this weekend for Stateside.
And also, if you can, and Tequila, do you want to put your link in the channel, Tequila? Where can people find you?
Just put your one in now. Let me put mine in as well.
I'll do mine at the end.
I've already done yours, dude. It's there.
All right. Okay, there you go. And where you can find Tequila here, but you can also find him there.
Yes, gaming channel. We've got one of our members is doing an Alien Isolation playthrough. If you like alien films, you'll love this game. So watch him crap his pants getting killed by the alien, because he's been killed about 50 times. We're going to do a kill counter, I think. See how many times he's died. So you enjoy that stuff, please join us on the play pouch. That's what's happening at the minute.
Excellent.
Yeah, please don't go over. It's good fun over there. And then, guys, of course, for me, you can always find me on here. Of course you can. This is where you will find me. But also, go to my gaming channel, Dumb and Dumb, Double Dumb Gaming, the one I used to do a column. He's now over the Play Patch, but I'm sure the guys will do some joint streams gaming, where I'm starting every Tuesday a Batman Arkham Knight series, episode 1. Follow me as I take down the Gotham criminals at the belly of the bottom, go into the sewers to fight Killer Croc, go and find the Joker and knock him around a while, a bit, even go and knock Two-Face into next year, and go and find Daniel Levy, who's hiding somewhere with the Penguin with all the money to release it.
Demo, so, yeah. Who's your favorite Batman villain? Who are you looking forward to killing?
Oh, I have to say the main story in that, Scarecrow, is very good.
Yeah.
But I must admit, I do like the Two-Face one, where he's robbing the banks. That's a good one.
Harvey Dent.
There's a good Iceman. The Iceman one as well. But there's one where the ninja ones, I forget his name. But there's a lot of good side missions in that, guys. So we start the main session, the main story, and then when the missions come out, you guys decide what I do. So, yeah, this Tuesday at 10, join me in Double Dumb Gaming for Batman Arkham Knight as I look to take down the Scarecrow. Does he explode his bomb or not? Tune in and find out. And there is Steve's there. Thank you all for watching, guys. It's been a cracking show. Thank you to Tequila. Thank you to Steve. See you tomorrow, guys, bright and early, 10 to 11. Join me for Tottenham versus Wickham, part one of a double header. I can't wait. And Tequila, as we... Eyes on the prize. I pressed that too early to keep.